get understanding through some things, you know, through all some stuff. And it was funny, and maybe Sandy, we may get Sandy to share, but she's down there in Orlando. She's been on the call. She's connected in heart with us. And I think, what day was it you stepped into a cube and didn't know what was going on and still didn't know what was going on? And we got here and was talking about some things, and she's like, oh, my gosh. Do what? Oh, yeah, she was the 12 counselors and made 13. I mean, there's a lot there. There's 12 houses. Christ is the third. There are 12 tribes. We're the 13th tribe. I mean, there's a lot there. And so I don't know if you're getting into any of it or whatever. So that's what we're going to just pray into. If you don't understand or agree, that's fine, because we don't either. We're just saying, as a body, we're not afraid.
Well, just the other pattern too is the 12 disciples plus Christ is 13.
Yes.
So again, there's another pattern. But like Connie said, it's just, to me, the point with any of it is that God, just like He created the letters, He created the numbers, and they have a purpose and a function. And there's something about them that we need to glean. But it's obvious that there are, you know, you could probably rattle off many occultic numbers that have been taken for whatever reason. And those are, so we're just going to focus on the one for tonight, but obviously there are other numbers that have been used. But the point is to break the things off of them so that we can redeem them and we can receive whatever it is, whatever, like she said, whatever mystery is in them, we can receive that mystery of what God has placed within that.
So. I mean, there's just a lot of things there. So, me? Okay, well, he tricked me because he didn't tell me any of this. He said, well, he was going to do it. So, Father, right now, you can join in. Anybody can join in. So, Father, we just right now just come to you, and we are grateful that you are revealing mysteries to your sons, mysteries of who you are. And they're only a mystery because we don't know them yet. They're not hidden things. And you don't hide things from us. You hide things for us to search out, to grow in our kingship. And so we want to honor you right now. We want to honor those that you send to us. And I just want to thank you for the living letters and the numbers that you've created to bring definition in this realm that are only a reflection of the realm of heaven. And so right now we know that that number 13 has been veiled and it's been covered into darkness. And so right now we open up that number and we reveal and call forth the truth of the reality of that number to manifest in the earth. And the mysteries about you that it contains, we ask that you would give us wisdom and insight to that they would unfold for us. And so where that number 13 has been cursed and is a curse on the earth, we call it blessed now, because in your language that you established, the Hebrew language, you said that the number 13 represents the many becoming one. And we thank you that there are many parts in your body that are becoming one in you. And we desire the oneness to be in Christ in you. And so unveil that mystery to us. And we set up gates around us of truth. And so we bless you, Abba, Papa, and we delight that we are your children, that we're your sons, and we're growing up. Thank you that it's your good pleasure to give us your kingdom. And we look for the day to stand on that rim of creation and to begin to create and terraform this earth. We thank you that your kingdom is a kingdom that is upon the earth that will grow and advance. That there is no end to your kingdom. And the darkness that we think we see will be changed into light, into glory. In Yeshua's name.
Amen. What's his name, Sandy? Aaron Smith? Yeah, Aaron Smith is the leader of the church over at the Rockmobile, and he's been doing more and more things with Ian and Grant Mahoney and those guys. And sometime back, Sandy said, or she heard him testifying about, the Lord had him come into a court and do a court case pertaining to the number 6. So, you know, we're just gonna be redeeming things, and as always, yeah, we just need to continue to inquire of the Father about just what He's doing, what we hear people talking about that He's doing, you know. And just constantly inquiring of Him, and let him speak to you and I about those things. That for you to never forget that you're alone in this. You've been given the Spirit of Truth, right? So just ask Holy Spirit the question. So I have a testimony I want to share first. This one's really cool to me. So back in July and August, we were, Virginia and I, it was either July or August, Virginia and I went to eat dinner with Tyler and Ava out at the Meza restaurant out at the beach. So we were just sitting out there. It's like a lounge restaurant. And so we were sitting in the lounge area, and they had live music playing. And honestly, it was a little frustrating because the music was loud, so you had to kind of almost yell and like really concentrate to hear what they were saying. So that was a little bit annoying. But anyway, so we were there, and I ordered the lamb chops. And so as soon as the waitress or server brought the lamb chops out, and I was, you know, cutting my first little bite of lamb chop, the guy doing the music starts singing the song Hallelujah. So, like, I'm eating my lamb chop to Hallelujah. Literally. Last Wednesday, somebody blessed us with a gift certificate. So we went, and it was the second Sabbath, so there's a full moon. All right? So we go in there, and I'm like, this kind of ties in because of, I'm going to tie it in with what I'm going to share in the point of, what are you aware of? What are you conscious of, and what are you focused on? So we go to the restaurant. This time we ask for the dining area. I'm like, I don't want to sit in the lounge again. So the hostess takes us into the dining area, sets us by the window on the beach side by this post. And we have a window right here looking, I mean, you can't see the beach, but it's right there through this oval window, and there's some decorations and stuff. And I had already looked on my phone app, and the moon was right on the horizon. It's like we couldn't see it yet. I could see the brilliance of it coming off the horizon over the building. So we were sitting there, and I'm just like, and that's when I started commenting to Virginia. I'm like, I bet you there's probably nobody in this place right now that knows the moon is right there and is even looking for it or even wants to look at it. But here we are at this table that we didn't ask for. We just got seated here. So we actually had to move the table back and forth to kind of figure out what the best spot was so we could both look and see the moon. Because the window wasn't, you know, it was an oval, so it was narrow. So we moved the table back and forth a couple times, and we finally got it figured out. So I'm sitting there. I got the lamb chops again. And the same guy is there doing music. She puts the lamb chops on the table, and I'm eating, and I can't really, and I'm like, I start listening, and he's singing Hallelujah again. I'm like, no way. Once was like, okay, but twice. So then as I was leaving, I was like, I started realizing that the Father's in me, and he was really enjoying that moment. Because he orchestrated all of that. I mean, the moon. We literally got to sit there and watch the moon rise. I didn't look at the app. Okay, we got to go by this time so we can see the moon rise. It was like we went. He already had a table picked for us. And then I got to talk to. I went up to the guy afterwards. It worked out for me to talk to the guy, the musician. Because I wanted to tell him what happened. And so even that, it was like he was outside, I guess, taking a smoke break. I don't know what he was doing outside, but he was taking a break. So, and when we were leaving, he was opening the door to come back in. All right? So I'm like, dude, I got to tell you what happened. And his name was Trevor. And he sounds Scottish or New Australian. Yeah, something. So I'm like, man, I gotta tell you what happened. So, you know, last summer we were here when you played Hallelujah when I had my lamb chops, like right on sync. First bite, Hallelujah. And then I was like, tonight, the lamb chops got put on my table again. And you're singing Hallelujah. And he was like, well, you know what? I wasn't even gonna sing that one, but somebody at the bar asked me to sing it. I'm like, Lord, this is a good one. This is a good one. So yeah, the more I pondered on that, I began to realize the reality of the Father being in me and enjoying that moment. In that moment, he was there in me enjoying that. I could stop right there and just, y'all just think about that for the next few days. Because like I prayed earlier, it says we're seated in heavenly places, right? I'm coming to realize out of all of those heavenly places, there's only one place that is above every place, and that is in Him. And that is a reality for you and I to sit in and come into. So even I've gone through this progression before with like my experience, and I don't know what your experience is going to be like. God knows what your experience is going to be like as you manifest as a son. Mine has been, I start seeing angels and things in the spirit. No, let me back up. I'm not seeing anything. And then I just start praying like I've told you before. Father, thank you for the angels that you've sent, the cloud of witnesses, and I just receive you today. I acknowledge that you're here and blah, blah, blah. Then I start seeing them. Then I start interacting with them. And most of you realize this, but just because we talk to them, we're not worshiping them, so you're going to have to come to terms with having relationships with heavenly hosts. You're going to have a relationship. It's like Jesus is our Savior. He's restored us to the Father. He's given us His Holy Spirit. But there are heavenly hosts that you and I are going to have, that you and I will have a relationship with. And you need to be okay with that. You're not worshiping them just because you're talking to them. Or just because they came to give you something or whatever. That is not worshiping them. All right? So you're starting to encounter. So then I come into the seat of rest that we've talked about. And I'm sitting there. And then you start moving into the heavens and the things of heaven, you know, Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, things like that. So now it's almost like you're beginning to see the throne room from afar. You might even see the throne, like sea of glass, looking at the throne. So the point is, you're still seeing the Father there, right? But sometimes you might be where it says Yeshua is at the right hand of the Father, you know? Okay? So are you following this progression? This is what God did with me. So then I'm encountering that. And then within the last 2 years or so, I realized this. I mean, it's like the first time it happened, I started weeping because I'm like in the Father right now looking out, and it's really weird and overwhelming. Because it was emotional in the sense of that it was happening. And it's like, wow, this is really happening. And then I realized where I was at. And then from there, I've just begun to realize. And then the other night at that restaurant, later on when I walked away and just was thinking about what happened, I realized in that moment, He was there in me enjoying that moment. So just like I've got to encounter times of being in Him doing and seeing things, He was very present in that moment, enjoying what was happening. Okay? Where to begin? Tonight is going to be one of those nights where let us reason, and I'm going to provoke you to think, provoke you to use your mind and think, and hopefully have some new thoughts. This really has nothing to do with what I'm going to share, other than it's a really cool graphic. And I did talk about the beginning of the age. You know, we kind of worked that out a little bit several weeks ago. But what I want to point out with this graphic is it says the beginning of the age, time running out, eternity rushing in. And honestly, well, the point to me to make to you is it's your choice to experience that reality. It's totally your choice. And I was reminded of a friend of ours that she, one of her first encounters with Enoch, she was walking on this beach. And she saw Enoch coming up to her. And as they were walking, you know, they walked and met, and he introduced himself. And he was like, I forget the question that he asked her or whatever. But one of the things that he said was like, wow, the beach has gotten smaller. And she was kind of like, oh, okay, well. And he's like, you want to know why? You know? Basically, the point was, is they were walking on the sands of time, and the sea of eternity was overtaking the sands of time. So again, it's your choice to encounter. It's your choice to come into that reality, because it's happening already right now. And all to me, all that is saying is I'm becoming more aware of eternity. I'm becoming more conscious and aware of eternity. Okay? So, again, that has nothing to do with really what I'm sharing tonight. It's just stuff for you to think about. I'm in one of those places of, I'm just going to give you some stuff to think about. Yeah. So here's another scripture. Well, here's a scripture that kind of goes with this. It's in Isaiah 45:11. It says, thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and His Maker, ask me of the things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, comma, you command me. So there's some, you go think about that one for a while. So one of the things I do want us to realize is as we manifest as sons, one of the things that we're going to come into a measure of understanding about is how He created creation. Okay? And part of what we were praying into tonight is I haven't encountered this yet. If this in fact is what Sandy encountered was Metatron's cube, then from what we've heard from others that have encountered, the cube basically is the design and the blueprint of creation. It's how water, this cube can be seen when water freezes in the sense of how the crystals are formed. So this is just another place, another mystery that God is beginning to open up to us. If we'll just, we already know how to engage with Him in this stuff, right? Right? We've already learned how to engage with Him with these things, and so all He's doing is bringing us into another place of fuller understanding. And I think in this respect, in this case, a lot of what we're coming into is we're gonna begin to understand created creation. Okay? So, and my suspicion is that there's 13 dimensions in this reality, which would go with the whole 13 thing. So they already talk about at least 11 just with the quantum particles that they've theorized. Okay? So, and you know, do what you need to do with this, but before Jason went off the ranch, one of the last things he was doing was praying into the 13th dimension being opened up. Constantly, every time I was around him, that's what he was doing. So, take that one to the Lord. Okay. So, there's mainly two things that I'm gonna end up talking about. One is the heart. All right? I want to get into the heart a little bit. And then the other one at the end, probably at the end, is I'm gonna put up that chart again, and I'm just gonna throw out some observations and questions, and you know, hopefully some things that will get you to ponder more stuff. Okay? Uh-oh, this is off. All right, so I'm going to pray now. So, Father, we just thank you for truth. I ask you for truth. And Holy Spirit, we just thank you. I just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here now among us. And we just thank you for your bearing witness and confirming. And I just thank you for opening up to each one of us the understanding, sending us however you desire to confirm things to us and to open up these mysteries and to give us understanding about different things that we're going to be sharing tonight or talking about. Holy Spirit, I just ask you to come and begin to brood over these things, to brood over these words, and begin to bring knowledge, understanding, and wisdom to us. And that I thank you for bearing witness. I ask you to bear witness to our hearts with the truth tonight, that we will leave here knowing the truth. We will leave here knowing that we've received more of the truth, another measure of truth, that you've opened up new places for us to go and seek out, Father, new things with you. So I just thank you, Father. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for your leading and for your interacting with us tonight in this time of just thinking new thoughts and teaching us and helping us to see how you've created creation and our place in it as your sons. And so I just thank you in your name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to be bouncing in and out a little bit of like the science part of the heart, and bouncing in and out of like the science part of the heart, and then just I've got some scriptures that I want to throw out there to go along with this. I don't know if you can see this. So a lot of these slides I got from a website called HeartMath. Most of you are probably aware of HeartMath, but it's all just rooted in the science and understanding of how the heart works, how the heart communicates. They have some amazing stuff on the way. It's been a long time since I've looked at their website, but in a few slides I'll be sharing some of the stuff that they've already started doing, because it goes hand in hand with all this you hear the New Age and other voices in the earth talking about higher consciousness. Okay? This is where you and I need to know the science part of this, and we need to have an understanding, or we're going to call it demonic and miss out on something. Because we don't understand, when actually all they're talking about is some science, right? So the other thing I wanted to say too is, as I was thinking about some of this stuff, I think the most simplistic way to look at creation is ultimately when any idea comes up, it's going to involve an equation. So you could say ultimately, not that we need to like begin to learn differential equations and all this other stuff, but for us to realize that creation can be defined and explained within a formula, within a mathematical equation. All right. So the more that we just learn how to hear that and whatever we need to do with that, so that we're not standing in this place of like calling something demonic when it's really science explaining what God just did. Right? Because we're ignorant, or we're being religious, honestly. Let's just call it what it is. We're going to, you know, let's just get rid of the religious stuff. All right. So, this basically is an illustration of the electromagnetic field that is generated from, that is being generated from the heart. An electromagnetic field is a field that is generated when charged particles are moving. Okay? So, we have charged particles moving in and around our body, and that movement is what's generating this electromagnetic field. So let's bring in some of the spiritual part. Let's do this. One thing for us to begin to learn how to understand or ask for understanding is, where does the spirit start and where does creation stop? Or is it intertwined? So, I mean, these are questions we need to ask ourselves. Right? Because think of the one thought that I had today when I was thinking about the last few days is, think of what we've been conditioned in our own country, separation of church and state. Right? So how we've tried to compartmentalize all these things, but ultimately concerning creation, we're going to have to get to a point of like, is this where creation starts or stops? And then this is where spirit starts. Because we could sit here and somebody could come in here and do a dissertation on quantum physics and he's talking about the unseen realm. So are we going to call that spirit or not? Right? So this is where we need to kind of, however God is going to bring definition to this for us, because this is another part of this thought or conversation would be, this is why I believe we need to have a more defined language when we're talking about angels and elders and chancellors. And in the Hebrew Bible, it's the word melech for angel, which is a general word for messenger. All right. Well, sometimes in the Bible, when an angel comes, it's really a man in white linen who doesn't have wings. But the Bible doesn't really, it's kind of vague how it describes that. So the more you and I are encountering the hosts of heaven, we need to be able to have a more clearly defined language as to who it is we're talking about. Because the more that we can define that in our language, it's only going to help all of us and someone new hearing it. Right? Because the one example that just came to my remembrance was our first Melchizedek meeting, where we were in this group and we all went up to heaven together and had this, you know, encountered heaven together. There was like six or seven of us in this room. Well, Virginia saw the staircase. Well, that was a real staircase in the spirit. And Virginia said she saw a staircase. And then everybody else started talking, seeing the staircase. So we all went up the staircase, right? So it wasn't, so again, the point is, we all have a concept of what a staircase looks like. So the more that we can give heaven some kind of, bring it into, talk about it in the earthly realm, which there's already things that I don't even know how to talk about in the earthly realm. So there's just going to be, sometimes it's going to be untranslatable. It'll just be spirit to spirit. There'll just be things that I don't even know how to tell you. You know, I don't even know how to describe that or this or what. It's like, I don't know. So again, the more that we can define things with our language, it's only going to help us to live in and out of that reality. Okay? All right, so the heart. So the heart is emanating this electromagnetic field. So that's why sometimes when you get around people and you get within that field, within that field is you know how we're saying what you're resonating, right? Well, in that electromagnetic field is what you're resonating. So that's why when somebody gets like 4 or 5 feet from you, or you get 4 or 5 feet from them, and you're starting to feel like, what is that? You know, where's that coming from? Well, that's not me. Well, no, you're picking up on what that person is their heart is resonating. All right. And for those of you that are spiritual empaths, do you know what that is? A spiritual empath is someone that like fully takes on what they're feeling from that person. You know, if that person's sad, then all of a sudden they're feeling the fullness of that sadness, you know? And so really they're encountering that person's, I'm just going to, you know, electromagnetic field that their heart is generating. And within that field are those emotions that are resonating in that field. So think about the things in the natural that are a pattern of that same principle in science. Think about a wave, and within that wave, there's information traveling in that wave. Radio waves, TV waves, cell phones, right? So the radio waves are like a lower banded frequency of a wave. These things are like up in the gigahertz for the cell phones and the information that is riding on that wave. So think about the electromagnetic field that's resonating around someone, and within that field on those waves is information riding on that waves. And really, the information that's riding on that waves is the essence and the essence of who that person really is. Because like I said, we can't hide. I mean, as much as we try and hide, who we are, where we're at right now is resonating around me. You know, whether it's 4 feet, 5 feet, I don't know. But wherever we're at, that is what's resonating around us. And so that's why sometimes people will say they're giving you a prophetic word and all they're doing is reading your soul. Right? They're not really giving, you know, they're not really giving someone a true word of knowledge out of the Spirit. You know, because for whatever reason, I don't have an answer for this. For whatever reason, some people are more sensitive to that than others. You know, some people can just, they're like picking up on all kind of stuff. You know, whether you want to call it intuition, I wouldn't call it discernment. You know, there's that distinction again where we need to make a distinction of this is a gift in the Spirit, discernment. I'm discerning, the Holy Spirit is causing me to discern this right now, not because I'm in this person's electromagnetic field and I'm feeling their sadness right now. That is not discernment. That is just me, if you want to call it intuition or a sensitivity or whatever, but it's like I'm feeling the sadness right now, and I know I wasn't sad before I got around this person, so this person must be sad. You know, however you get to that realization that it's not you. So let's throw that. Before I go any further, this was a thought that I had too. I felt like the Lord kind of helped me explain a little more of a dynamic that's happening here with ATR. So. Because of the group of people that are here now, if it's 25 or 30 or 35 of us, we would call the core group. That's, we've all gone through the fire. We've all seen, you know, we've all allowed God to crucify us publicly together and, you know, going through all that stuff. Well, that has, I guess, so by definition, the safe place that we're talking about, within that safe place, this is what I see is happening. Within that safe place, you have a group of people that are manifesting the love of God within that court, you know, within that group of people. So now you have somebody come in that ain't from around here yet. They come into our midst and give it enough time because of that love. So what is resonating in God's love? Acceptance, affirmation, security, safety. We don't even have to say any of those words, but that's what's resonating in that, in His love, and in that love being manifested among us, right? So when somebody comes in and gets exposed to that, that place of self-protection, the walls they're hiding behind, we don't even have to, you don't have to say anything. They start letting go. They start loosening up, and then all of a sudden, well, they start loosening up, and then they start manifesting. But that's a good thing, because that's how it works. Because really, for the, you know, I'm, so when somebody comes in and they're being affected by the love of what, you know, the, however you want to describe that, I would just call it God's love manifested within this group. Somebody comes in, that self-protection, those walls, they don't even know what's happening. They probably don't even know why. Why is this coming up? Why is this coming up right now? It's because you're in a place of love, and that love is causing you to let go. That love is causing you to relax and open up. And the only way for any of that junk to go is out. Through your memory, you know, just whatever. So that's what I felt like. I guess a good explanation, hopefully, of what happens when somebody comes into our midst, you know. And as much, it's like I tell people this all the time. As much as we try to communicate what God is doing here, until you begin to encounter it for yourself, you really don't have a clue what we're talking about yet. I mean, until you begin to interact with God in the things that you've heard us talking about, and He starts bringing up your stuff and whatever that looks like for you, until you begin to face that and interact and engage with that and let it happen, you don't know yet what we're talking about. And that's okay. It's not like we don't, you know, think any differently of anybody. It's just, you know, hopefully everybody that comes through here will get it, you know, and they'll be able to catch on. All right. So back to the heart. So another thought, and I'm going to get some of these slides. Even right now, you and I are quantumly entangled. A lot of this stuff came a few weeks ago. I heard this person singing this song, "Make us one in the Spirit, Lord, make us one, make us one." And I'm like, he's already done it. And we are one. We are just unaware of it. We are totally clueless of how one we truly are. We're not awake to it. And that's where I want to bring in the scripture in Matthew 13 that says, where Jesus was talking about, He was teaching in parables, and then He said to the I think it's the scripture that comes out of Isaiah where He talks about the heart of this people has grown dull. All right. Well, when I read it again today or the other day, the thing that jumped off the page at me was "has grown dull," meaning they weren't dull at some point. At some point, this people, which He's talking about Israel, their heart was awake and aware, right? So what could that look like for us today to be dull? One, it could just be because we don't know something, right? Or we haven't realized something. So there could be a measure of ignorance on our part because we just don't know, we don't know that we don't know yet. The other thing could be sin. Rebellion. I mean, Romans 1 is very clear about the effects of having a seared conscience. You know? It's like if we keep, Holy Spirit's convicting us, but we're continuing to do this thing that we're not letting go of, and we're not changing, we're not repenting and changing what that looks like in our life, our heart is not only going to get dull, it's going to be hardened. And then we're totally going to be missing it. You know? So, yeah, so I believe again, the more that we become aware of how God has created creation, and we just learn how to let Him wake us up and just, you know, just learn how to, I don't even know how to explain it. But it's just that, it's that learning how to interact in the world around us and being confident and assured in who I am and where I am right now in Christ. Because I can remember, probably most of you have had this kind of encounter. Let me say this first. So let's say, this is how I look at emotions. So let's say healthy emotions lies within this range right here, right? All right, let's say anger, sadness, grief, whatever. So let's say a normal healthy emotion lies within this spectrum. Well, outside this spectrum is when it can be demonically energized. And that's where we have to discern. We have to discern this. Okay, I'm depressed and sad because of this, but now I'm discerning there's a demonic spirit doing something with this, right? And it just takes practice, and it just takes the help of the Holy Spirit to help us to become that aware and attuned to what's going on inside of us and around us, okay? So that we're not. So here's. I guess once, so we'll get around, so let's say we go back to that heart's electromagnetic field. So I'm feeling that person's sadness. Well, all of a sudden, I'm hearing this voice starting to talk. So you know what that is? That's that familiar spirit that's starting to resonate between me and that person. Because there's something in me that's familiar with something in them, and now there's a spirit that's beginning to chatter on the line. Right? So if I'm not aware of that, that spirit is going to cause me to either further wound the person, you know, take a jab at that wound, or reject them or whatever, because I still have a place in me, and I haven't discerned that there's a demonic spirit involved in this right now, and that cycle is going to be able to repeat in that person's life, and the enemy's using me in that person's life at that moment. So again, it's something that we just have to begin to ask the Holy Spirit to help me discern. Help me discern the world around me and what's going on inside of me. So this is what hopefully you've begun to kind of like, hey, that looks like another electromagnetic field that I've kind of seen before. And it's the earth. There's a book. Is it, Virginia, I meant to ask you this earlier today, but I forgot. Is the Feelings Buried Alive Never Die, is it in that book where the person was being tested that was sick, and when they prayed, they measured that prayer sent a wave around the world? Was it in that book? In one of the books, if it's that book, in one of the books that we've read, there was either a man or a woman that was in the hospital that was sick, and they had hooked up this test equipment, and when that person started praying, they measured a wave that they said went around the world. So again, how connected are we? How one are we? And how unaware of it are we? Okay? So hopefully you're beginning to realize what the New Age and all of the, you know, that part of society. This is what they're talking about. This is why they're saying what they're saying, in essence. So this is the Earth's magnetic field. This is I like this picture because this is the effects of the sun and the solar, the particles. I forgot. Hold on, let me see. The solar wind particles. So that's how the, so in actuality, this is basically what it would look like without the effect of the solar particles being emanating from the sun, radiating from the sun, and all of the just unseen particles that are in the spectrum are there impacting the Earth's magnetic field. And then that's just an illustration of kind of what it looks like, the Earth's magnetic field. So that's another one. Then that's kind of more science stuff. I kind of like that one, so I just put that one in there for grins and giggles. Not that I'm going to explain any of that to you. The magneto tail, I don't know. Magneto sheath. The one cool thing that I did read is this leading edge of the magnetic field basically acts like an iron plate approximately 3 foot thick, protecting us from the sun's radiation or something like that. It was a pretty cool little tidbit to know. All right, so this is a good one to... This is like some of the stuff that you and I have read that Nikola Tesla has said and Einstein, you know, the great minds of the last century. Vibration, nothing rests, everything moves, everything vibrates. At the most fundamental level, the universe and everything which compromises it is pure vibratory energy. And that's one of Tesla's famous quotes, is the whole universe is energy. Pure vibratory energy manifesting itself in different ways. The universe has no solidity as such. Matter is merely energy in a state of vibration. So, I mean, there's things like that that you and I could just sit around and think about for days, hours, and weeks. And so again, to me, a lot of what I'm sharing tonight is one of the things for us as sons is for us to understand created creation. How did God create creation? Because as a son, I believe that we need to know so that we'll know how to do what we're supposed to be doing in creation. So I thought this is that quantum entangled thing that I said a while ago. Quantum intuition explained, everything is energy. Energy connects everything. Energy carries information. The past, present, and future all exist simultaneously. Therefore, as energetic beings, we have access to the past, present, and future at any point in time via energy. It all connects. So, yeah, we could talk about that one for hours, too. So this was one, the whole point of me putting this up there is to show you or to show that there's been tests and there's lots of research out there where they have tested or they've come up with different ways of testing that different emotions have a frequency, okay? And so that's why, like at the bottom, shame, guilt, apathy, grief, fear, desire, anger, pride, courage, those are all the lower, lesser frequencies. But see, the one thing that I want to point out is when you get up here to love and joy and peace, this is what we have to discern. So it is possible for you and I to resonate with those emotions because God has given them to us in creation. But peace, joy, and love are considered to be fruits of the Spirit. So only in Christ are we going to resonate with the true fruit of the Spirit. And we need to discern because this right here, this peace, joy, and love, the tree of the good part of the tree of knowledge is going to be manifesting that. Right? So this is where you and I have got to discern the fruit. We've got to discern that fruit is from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That fruit is not from the tree of life. And it's honestly, it's a bit sobering and a bit, I don't want to say scary, but unnerving in the days to come, because the trickiest one, the most deceptive one, in my opinion, is the good fruit from the tree of knowledge, and to discern that fruit correctly. Because I talk about that one all the time. The good fruit of the tree of knowledge is full of human compassion. It's full of good deeds. It's like, well, that's good. Why wouldn't God, why wouldn't God be involved in that? You'll have to ask him about why that one, why he wasn't in that one. But I promise you, he'll probably say, no, I wasn't in that one. That's, this is that lawless thing. And that's where, those ones said, I cast out demons in your name. I healed the sick in your name. I cleansed the leper in your name. They did all this stuff in his name, but they were still called lawless. And so I just wanted to put this up there to reiterate that idea again, that within that electromagnetic field, you and I are resonating, obviously, we can be resonating a mixture of those emotions. We can have a mixture of pride, we can have a mixture of, we can be resonating some anger, we can have some love in there, we can have some grief behind there, So either way, we can still be resonating with any one of those emotions at any given point. So really, I think another way to look at it would be the essence of you, if you wanted to say, someone, let's say me, I'm at this moment, I'm 40% joy, 60% left, so 30% reason. You know what I'm saying? Like all the ratios of the emotions, and like every one of us would have some like a totally different ratio and makeup of the emotions. So I just wanted to point that out there, that there is research, there is science out there that they have, identified frequencies with emotions. Okay? So that's transcendence. Well, for me, it because that's the name of the Johnny Depp movie where he uploaded his consciousness to the cloud. So let's look at the secular world, the perversion. So what I would say is transcendence to me at the moment in comparing it to what that movie is communicating, right? Because that movie is what they're presenting immortality to be. Because that's what the world is presenting now, that at some point through virtual reality, people are going to be able to upload their consciousness on a computer, on the cloud, and live forever. And that's how they're presenting immortality. But for us in Christ, so to me, transcendent would be, I'm truly for real where Jesus was, where you see in the scripture, walking through crowds, the ones that want to kill me, because it's not my time yet, so you're not going to touch me yet, right? And I've said this before, I believe a mature son in the days to come, because of where that person is walking in that place of transcendence or maturity or perfection in the Father as a son, that they have the power, just like Jesus did, to lay his life down or to pick it up again. So whatever the Father's will is concerning them, they will do exactly what Jesus did. Today, the Father has asked me to lay down my life. I'm finished in earth. Okay.
Of martyrdom.
Right.
But they all came from very different places and collectively they decided to move to the greater glory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so moving, it's so moving. But that's
amen.
Okay. Yeah.
Again, tonight is nothing more than me just provoking you. That's all. I'm just here to provoke you to think something. Amen. So this is some of the heart math research, that when someone's frustrated, that's what the heart wave looks like when someone's frustrated, and it actually inhibits brain function. And that's what they call, their word for that break in communication between the heart and brain is called incoherence. Huh? So then when we're feeling appreciation, that's the wave for and it actually facilitates brain function. So that's just some of the research that they have shown. And they actually have a software program that hooks up to your heart, and it'll actually I think the founder of HeartMath has passed away. I couldn't find anything by him, but the co-founder's name is Howard Martin, and there's several videos of him out there. And I got some of this stuff off of the video. I just screenshotted some of the stuff off the video. All right, so this is where the global consciousness thing starts coming in. They said there is evidence of a global effect when a large number of people create similar outgoing emotional waves, whether stressful and incoherent or positive and coherent. Okay? It's just like us in here. Us being one in here, you know, our heart's connecting in here, and then God moving in that and with that and what's possible in that. All right. So their hypothesis is that strong collective emotional intention has a measurable impact on the Earth's geomagnetic field. So they've gone so far in their research that they have, I printed this off. Let me read this real quick. They have put these magnetometers. It's called the Global Coherence Monitoring System. They have one in Boulder Creek, California, Saudi Arabia, Canada, Lithuania, New Zealand, and South Africa. And they're measuring the Earth's electromagnetic field, and ultimately their goal is to interpret what the people, how the people are doing in that region. And then what he said in the video is, we get a bunch of us together and we start sending love to them. So, I mean, they're proving scientifically our intent. This is why if you, for those of you that have been in here and we're doing this crazy stuff about galaxies and, you know, the nations and all that stuff, let this confirm to you that what we're doing in here is doing something. That we, you know, this little group of people, God is using to do things, to impact nations and cities and states and whatever he's wanting to use us for. But that's what they just defined scientifically. Okay? Yeah. Amen. So again, here's that distinction between, you know, It's that tree of that good fruit from the tree of knowledge. So they're gonna collectively get some people together to send love to this part of the world that the EMF wave is a little down because they had some famine or the war or whatever, you know. But the Spirit of God is not on that. Huh? Huh? Yeah, I'd have to think about that one a little bit. How it fits into this. You know? Because again, I mean, we know it comes back to the intent of our heart. You know, it's, go ahead. Oh, let me see. There was a guy. Oh, another thing I learned is the Schumann frequency, the resonance of the earth, it actually, I didn't see the times, but it actually has a cycle to it where it actually goes up by 6 or 7 hertz, and it goes as high as, on here, they've tested, and they said this was courtesy of NASA. See, typically it resonates at 7.8, the Schumann frequency, which is the Earth's frequency. And throughout an 8-hour period, it goes through an incremental cycle. So it has a wave, it has a rhythm to it. And I actually, the thought that came to me is, so 7.8 hertz, 14 hertz, 20 hertz, 26 hertz, 33, 39, and 45. Through an 8-hour period, that's what the Earth's frequency is doing through that 8-hour period. So I was wondering, I didn't look at it for very long, and I'd have to go look. I'm going to go, that's another rabbit trail I'm going to go down. But I was wanting to see if somebody had done any research with the connection of Schumann's frequency with the circadian rhythm. Because it would totally make sense how, I mean, we're connected with everything. We are connected with everything. So again, the more that we understand that, instead of being religious and freaking out, and because you know, another thing, another part of this, of what I believe, another part of this, it wouldn't surprise me. I could feel that thing in us as we began to break the curse off the number 13. And if indeed that number is the number that's going to reveal creation to us, that one of the things that I've repented for before was when the church rejected science. You know, when the church rejected Galileo and all the astronomers that were like, hey, this is what's really happening in the universe. And they were like, no. So at that point, in my opinion, okay, think about the church should have been stewarding the truth, right? And the church rejected it. I believe it could have been possible if the church wouldn't have rejected that, we may have never heard of evolution. Because if the church would have continued to steward truth, the scientific truth of creation, if the church would have continued to steward that instead of rejecting it because it didn't fit into their biblical interpretation of what they thought this was supposed to look like, they rejected it, and that created this void, in my opinion, to let someone like Darwin come along and totally pervert and to twist and whatever of how we're supposed to be seeing and interacting with creation. So I'm going to show you one more slide. This is the one that we show up, we put up all the time. And this one was just going to be a short little, some more little questions for you. And this one, again, so let's say for the discussion, okay, let's say in this natural realm that there is 13 dimensions, okay? So right now, we're actually, this is where I would say the soul is. This is where we are in the physical body, but these two are real. So within these two right here, let's say there's 13 dimensions. So the question that I threw out earlier is, where does creation stop and where does heaven or the spirit begin? Because this right here is all unseen, but it's still considered part of creation. So this is where we just need to keep asking the Father to bring definition to what is created creation look like. And the other thing is, I mean, I can't stress that, you know, we say this all the time, but from here up is what's in you. From that third kingdom of heaven line, from that line up is what is in you. And the potential of what's in the potential of what's there in the spirit, or the reality of what is there for you to come into. So when the Bible says the kingdom of heaven is in you, that is somewhat of a definition or an explanation of what that is. And that's what's in you. So again, the only reason I brought that up, and I'm just going to close with that one, and I'm going to read some scriptures, is the two questions that I have with that is, where does creation stop? Where does heaven begin? Or is it just intertwined and we are unaware of it? You know, it's that song that I said at the beginning. Make us one, Lord, we are one, make us one. Like, we're waiting on God make us one, when for the last 30 or 40 minutes I just described to you that we are one already. We're already one just in creation because of the way He created it and designed it. We're already connected even now. But now we're connected again in Christ. So now we have the Christ connection. Yeah, I mean, I think in a roundabout way, it's like another way of praying for him, but... Mm-hmm. What?
When she said that, I was thinking of a story that I heard Dr. Paul Yamichetto in one of his books on prayer. And he talked about, because of the amount of prayer in, I guess...
South Korea. Because even Katie Souza has something similar to that, where when she first started releasing the glory light revelation, she started releasing glory light to her friends and family, and stuff was happening. You know? So it's, again, all of that comes out of the intent of our heart. You know? Like, the intent of my heart right now is to bless this person, releasing blessing, releasing love, releasing whatever. That's the intent of my heart. Now, yeah, to whatever degree that's impacting them, then yes, I believe they are, whether they are aware of it or not, right? Based on what we just looked at, they are experiencing something.
React and do that. That is, more of us get purified and
Right. Yeah, when we're just fully resonating Christ, there's nothing in that resonance. There's nothing in the wave that I'm emitting now. The soul is at rest. And the only thing in that wave is Christ and the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. And he talks about that the brain actually forms new neural pathways.
Yeah.
Like in physically when you're doing that spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoever sins you retain or retain, and whoever sins you remit or let go are remitted or forgiven. And he knelt down and he said, I forgive this woman's sins. And she got in a place of being coherent. And he actually heard the demon speak through her, and he said, nobody knows that scripture. How do you know that scripture? And it started screaming, no.
Amen.
So that one I had to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Thurman Scrivener.
Amen. Yeah. So I think I've said this before, several years ago. This thought came back to me. So whatever your explanation at this moment for God's love would be, right? Your experience. Let me make this distinction, because I was thinking about this too. I was thinking about a lot of stuff. I want to bring definition to the language, all right? So like what I've said before, when we're in a place of faith is like, you know, like we've said, it's that confidence. I've heard a word, right? I've heard something. So now I have faith, confidence, trust about what that is, right? So now I'm going to wait and pray and engage with Holy Spirit about that. And then at some point, I'm going to come into a measure of the experiential knowledge of that. So I want to add the experiential part to the knowledge, okay? So I want to make a distinction between just knowledge of something. No, I have experiential knowledge of that right now. I just had an experience with what I did have faith 5 days ago with. Now I have experience, and now I have some knowledge with that experience. Right? So I just want to make that distinction, that distinction of right now I'm in a place of faith. Father, what's the deal? Father, I ask you about this Metatron I keep hearing about. Father, who is Metatron? Father, what is Metatron about? What is his function? Father, what's going on with Metatron? And I keep doing that because I want to know who Metatron is. And then at some point, I'm going to go from that place of faith to, oh, well, this is Metatron. Experiential. An encounter. There's knowledge, whatever. So I've moved from faith into a place of experiential knowledge and encounter with whatever that was about. Okay? So, what I was going to say a while ago was, so whatever your grid is right now for God's love, all right, if you were to try to define that or measure it or give it a measure or whatever, what I'm pointing out is, consider or realize that everything is, he's carrying that in his heart, right? Think about the one person that is most dear to you right now and the love that you have for that one person, right? Now take that love and apply it to everything. And that is God's love. God's love is carrying the fullness of everything. And He can release His love towards anything because He has love for it. So we need to ask ourselves, does the love that I'm carrying have a boundary? Right? Does the love that I'm carrying, can it only go this far? Right? Because as a son, we're going to be carrying that same love. And then we're going to be able to release that same love to whatever that is that needs that in that moment. So basically, it's the realization and the possibility for us to know that same place. Well, I mean, we're seated in Him and we're in Him, right? So then it's just, again, it's becoming aware. It's all it is. To me, it's just more and more, it's just becoming aware and conscious of what already is. We don't need to wait for God to do this or that. It's already there. So I'm just going to close up with some scriptures. I think I want to go backwards. So Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it," we know it mostly as, "for out of it flows the issues of life." So guard your heart. The other one, the one that I kind of connected with that one was from Hebrews 13:9. It says, "Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace." Okay? So I would encourage you, even with that scripture, for you to discern, is your heart established in grace? And for you to begin to discern that. You know, for you to begin to discern, is my heart in grace or is my heart in some crazy doctrine or something? You know? So it says, "Not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them." So Proverbs 16:20-24. "He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart will be called prudent, and sweetness of the lips increase learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it, but the correction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips." That's a really good one to ponder on. "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones." Proverbs 20:5. "Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." And this is the one I want to leave you with. And you've all heard us. Well, this is like one of our proverbs that's always being thrown around. It's Proverbs 23:7. "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." So I would just encourage you to think and ponder more and more. Because all he's doing is revealing more and more. So again, kind of like with the restoration of all things. So it's like as he's revealing the things of heaven, it's because it's all connected, you know? So there's no way for us to, well, there probably is a way because we're choosing to ignore it or not believe, whatever. But I believe hand in hand, as we're coming into more understanding about the things of heaven and the realm of the Spirit, we're also beginning to understand creation. So that we can move in both realities with understanding and knowledge and wisdom. You know, to whatever that looks like right now for where I'm at in my walk with God and what He has me doing. So, I think that's about it. Any more questions? Not that I'm going to answer it, but... Yeah, I mean, thoughts have power. Because in that thought, there could be an emotion. You know, within that thought, there could be a given emotion that's with that thought, and so that's going to be resonating something. So we got to meet a couple this past week, and the husband, he had been married before, and his wife had passed away, and so he kind of went through. He's remarried now, and we were eating with the couple, but in him telling us the story of his previous marriage, he said that he and his wife had gotten to such a place of oneness that they were speaking by thought to each other so much that the Lord told them to stop and begin to speak. That's what he said. They got to such a place that they were communicating by thought that the Lord said, you need to stop because you need to start speaking because words do something. So I thought that was a pretty cool testimony. All right. Right.
Because they had like these two corn plants. He had like a lie detector thing that he could clip on the plant. So this big dude comes up and he like whacks the heck out of one of them, like just chops the thing down. So then they put the lie detector thing on the other plant that's standing there, and different people walk past it. When that dude walked past it,
Right.
The rice,
yeah, the rice that didn't mold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Y'all got a lot of homework.
Mm-hmm. And it was crazy. It was a perfect heart. And I was just like,
and his love, you know. So
right. Amen. All right, well, I'm going to pray. Oh, I want to put a name out there for us to, as the Holy Spirit reminds you, to pray for this person. Her name is Marina Abramovich, and she's like one of the head spiritualists for Hollywood. She does the spirit cooking stuff. She, God only knows what she's into. But let's be in agreement to send some love towards her and Christ and salvation and whatever it is that she... And light. Yeah. So as the Holy Spirit reminds you in the days to come, Marina Abramovich, I believe is how you say her name, but she's very well connected with Hollywood and she's a very high-level occultic practitioner of something. I don't know what else. I haven't looked at all. I don't really care. She just needs to know Jesus. So let's just be in agreement, you know, that she will encounter him and salvation will come. So Father, I just thank you for all that you're doing, and just thank you, Father, for Father, just all the just things to ponder, Father, things to look into, things to ask you about, Father, just to inquire, just so many different things, Father, just to sit with you and just ask you about, just knowing that you're a good Father and you long for us to know the truth, that you long for us to know these things. And so I just thank you for your perfect will and your desire for each one of us, Father, and where we're at in our relationship with you and the process that you have us on and just the journey and just where you have us right now in our lives and all that you're doing. And just thank you, Father, for your grace that's on each and every one of us, Father, and that grace that is empowering us in our lives right now and just doing the things that you have us to do. And so, Father, I just thank you for, again, Father, just for truth being revealed to us and just continuing to desire to know the truth, Father, about just the knowledge of you and the things of heaven, but also, Father, create. How did you create creation, Father? What does creation look like, Father? And for us to see it more clearly, for us to understand it as you would have us to understand it, Father, so we can just be, Father, who you've created us to be, Father, with a greater measure of knowledge and understanding and wisdom, Father, and as we just continue this journey to manifest as sons. And so just thank you, Father, for this night together. And Father, again, Father, just helping us to become more aware of what already is, Father, and become more awake and conscious and aware of what already is and the reality that's already right there. And so, Father, I just, whatever that is, Father, if it's fear, if it's just lack of knowing something, ignorance, or a belief, or, Father, whatever it is that's, Father, just hindering or resisting us from being fully awake, another measure of being awakened into this reality, Father, of heaven and earth and creation, Father, I just ask you to reveal that to us, Father, so that we can repent, so that we can release those things, Father, and put them under the blood of Jesus. And so that we can come into that place of just being fully awake, Father, in you and doing the things that you have us to do. And so I just thank you and just bless you in your name. Amen.